Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the weekend. It starts now as we take you all the way up till the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio with Sticks, the one and only LeVar Arrington.
What up, man?
Yeah, just here we are approaching football. We've got the Cowboys and Steelers getting to training camp. We got the Aaron Rodgers saga that'll play out, and we spoke with Albert Breer earlier in the show. If you missed the interview, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. After we get off the air, and pointing out, look, Tuesday's really the day for Aaron Rodgers. If he doesn't report, then we find ourselves in a spot and in a situation where the Packers need to now figure out what the hell's the plan. Where do we go now?
I don't know.
I mean, because here's, is it too late to trade him?
It's never too late to trade someone, but what? What is going to be the aftermath of that decision? And again, like the pressure that I'm assuming Murphy and the rest of the decision makers are under in Green Bay has to be at a super high level, right? It's got to be super 100%. High. So if you were to trade him, what are you trading him for? And what is that with? What is the carnage? You know, what is Jordan Love going to, what is he going to be? How is that going to work out?
And there's also, and I wonder if they fell victim to this, because I don't know if it's that they're spoiled, but I wonder if they just think it's easy to find Hall of Fame quarterbacks because they've had 25 years.
No, they don't. If they thought it was easy, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be able to do what he's doing right now. You know, if they thought it was easy, Dak Prescott wouldn't have gotten the contract that he's gotten. And we don't even know if he's a Hall of Fame quarterback yet. So much lesser of players, in theory, still command and demand the respect, both play-wise and financially-wise, from these franchises. And it is very – you are more you know, it could happen to have a non-franchise quarterback. More likely to happen is what I'm looking for. It's more likely to have a quarterback that is not a franchise quarterback than to have a franchise quarterback.
And look, the way training camp works, and you know this, every training camp and every team has a story that is the main story of camp. Like whatever it is, you could have a new coach coming in, a new quarterback, first round draft pick. Everybody wants to watch and see, hey, so what's happening at training camp? And then you have certain training camp stories that are about either contracts getting done or players not being happy. A couple years ago, it was Zeke Elliott in Cabo because he wanted a contract. Remember, he was in Cabo and he wanted a contract.
Marshall Faulk was with him.
Yeah, or I think it was Eric Dickerson.
No, it was Marshall Faulk.
Was it Marshall Faulk?
Yeah, it was Marshall Faulk.
Okay, so, but I remember that was the big story.
Could have been Eric Dickerson, too.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me if anybody knows Eric. Yeah. That was the big story of training camp for the Dallas Cowboys was, hey, Zeke wants a new contract. Dak Prescott, you can pay him, and he's up for a new contract if you wanted to get it done. Are either one of these guys going to get a deal done? Like, all of that was, you know, positive. All of that was, hey, moving forward, we know that we like these guys. How do we want to reward them? This one coming up this week, if Aaron Rodgers shows up, I know he doesn't want to talk about it, and I know players are probably sick of it, and I know the coaches are probably tired of being asked about it. LeVar, this is the story of their training camp.
This is the story of the National Football League.
Yes, this is the story. So if you're Aaron Rodgers and you just want to continue to play it vague and be sort of it's a beautiful mystery and all the other things that he said over the past several months, but you show up on Tuesday, understand what comes along with that. And I think we're going to get a lot of players who are tired of being asked about it and are tired of it being a story. But it's a story, man, and I don't see how this gets any better from a conversation standpoint for the Packers. You're happy he's there, but I don't think any of this stuff is going to quiet down because we haven't gotten any clear answers as to what the issue is.
The problem is that that's both ways.
Yeah.
If he shows up, that's going to be the scenario.
Yeah.
If he doesn't show up, that's going to be the scenario.
And
they've already created that.
And if you were a teammate of his – man, like, wouldn't you get worn out by this? Like, at some point, it's like, man, I'm tired of being asked about this.
I happen to live through a very, very highly covered football team my rookie year. And again, we had so many Hall of Famers on one team. Like, they brought in Bruce Smith. They brought in Deion Sanders. They brought in Mark Carrier. You know, Big Daddy Wilkinson, Dan Wilkinson was already on the team. Marco Coleman was on the team. Irving Fryer, Michael Westbrook, Stephen Davis. We had Brad Johnson as a starter and Jeff George as the backup. You want to talk about a media circus?
By the way, Jeff George, what a cannon he had, huh?
His arm talent was crazy. So the thing about it is I lived through – a media frenzy. And I got to be honest with you. If you're approaching things with the right mindset, Jonas, you don't have to concern yourself with getting fatigue about another player on your team. As high profile as I was coming out. Now think about this. Me and Chris Samuels go 2-3 to the Washington football team, right? We go 2-3. You would think we would be top two storylines in training camp. We weren't even top five.
I'm looking at that roster, by the way. Irving Fryer, James Thrash, Larry Centers, Andre Reed, Michael Westbrook, before he turned into an MMA fighter.
Skip Hicks.
I mean, my God. You know,
we were loaded.
Sam Shade.
Yeah, Shady.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, we had Sean Barber. Champ Bailey. We had Daryl Green.
What the hell happened here, man? Jesus.
Bro, people thought that it was an understatement to say that the working environment was horrible. They thought it was an understatement. How do you not win a Super Bowl with that roster? Anyway, point is, right, you use those moments to your advantage is where I'm going. If your mindset is in the right place and you're understanding what it is that's going on, Aaron Rodgers is pointing a spotlight very brightly on the Green Bay Packers. So you could be one or two things. You could be a storyline or you could be a non-factor. And it doesn't really matter that you're a storyline because of Aaron Rodgers. What matters is that they want you to contribute to the storyline. And so now you have to be in the mindset of, I am going to take full advantage of the exposure that the Aaron Rodgers situation is creating. I'm going to support Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to support the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to actually build my brand while they're sitting there trying to figure out what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Relax. R-E-L-A-X. That's what they have to be thinking. You can't be thinking, oh, I'm fatigued at this. Why aren't they talking about me? I just want to play football. Like, no, you're a professional. So as you understand what being a professional represents, you have to maximize whatever opportunities come your way and not let them slip away. Because you know what happens? If they come to you and they say, Jonas, what do you think about Aaron not being here and him being the guy that throws you the ball? And what do you think this looks like for the team and this and that? If you sit there and say, I don't really have a comment on it, you know what they're going to do? Go to the next player.
Yep.
And then now they have the opportunity, the same one that you just had, they have the opportunity to make their voice matter or not.
Yeah, I just wonder who there knows if he's going to show up. Because, I mean, look, if I'm Matt LaFleur, I'd like to know. I mean, I'd like to assume that I've got some sort of a relationship with the guy.
That's something they're going to hold close to the vest. Whoever, like if it's Devontae or anybody else, okay. if it's Aaron Jones, they're going to hold that close to the vest.
If you're Jordan Love, wouldn't you like to know? Like, hey, man, what's happening here? And here's what's so ironic
about
it.
If I'm Jordan Love, I am trying to win the starting game. job.
Yes, no, and but my point is, if you're Jordan Love, I'd at least like to know going into camp, where do I stand? Because if Rodgers,
you're number one going in.
All right, so Rodgers gets there.
Then you're not.
Yeah, and that's the point. Like I wonder.
It's simple.
And what's so funny about this is that you go back and it's not. I don't want to say apples to apples, but there's a lot of similarities between the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers thing to the Aaron Rodgers Jordan Love, just from the standpoint that
of the way kind of things unfolded.
Yeah, well, just from the standpoint of
the drama at
the
end.
And you're not quite sure whether you're the guy, you think you're the guy. Like I could still remember Brett Favre saying that he wanted to retire and then he wanted to come back, and then Aaron Rodgers was like, you know, I thought I was going to be the starter. I thought I had done this, and now he's come back. And it's just so funny how all these years later
it repeats itself.
Yeah.
I think it's a symptom of the environment. Like we talked about it, and Brady threw it out there the other day, and I think he did it very well. This is not the foundational traditional setup of a franchise. They do not have an owner. It's owned by shareholders, which are largely in part all Green Bay Packer fans. So you're empowered to a different degree when you're a successful quarterback for one of the league's most storied teams. And I think that that creates a certain level of what we see from Aaron Rodgers right now, what we saw from Brett Favre back then. Because you don't see this take place in other places.
No.
Even with Tom Brady. Tom didn't want to leave no New England. He didn't want to leave.
Well, he and Bob Kraft have a great relationship.
Bro, believe you me, they're not done. They're not finished. Whatever it is, they're not finished.
Yeah.
But it played out differently. You're now looking at a situation, and it is very clear. Now, I don't recall how Brett Favre or why Brett Favre was so bothered and what it led to. But I think we're clear at this point that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want some of the people making decisions there, making decisions.
Yep.
And to me, when that becomes the idea of it, where you're actually leveraging who you are and what you've represented to an organization to actually dictate the possibility of that becoming a reality, those people are removed based upon what you want. That's just not, you're not living, you're living in an alternate world of reality.
Yeah.
You really are. And so in order for you to understand what Aaron Rodgers is thinking, you would first have to be who Aaron Rodgers has been to a team and to an organization and to a community. And then you would have to understand it from the perspective of there is not an authoritative figure potentially that is big enough or in charge enough to actually be able to stop what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, my first question to him would just be, man, why'd you break up with Olivia Munn? What are you doing? What are we doing?
That's
here?
A whole nother. You know, I mean, listen, that's a whole nother topic of conversation.
Dude, get your cataracts fixed and let's have a conversation.
Well, he's
about
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he can. You know, he's all right in that category.
Hard to do better than that, though.
I'm just saying.
All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox here on FSR. Coming up next, though, he's one of the most criticized people in the entire football universe, and he's got some comments about it. We'll get into that here for you. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
So we've talked a lot about college football, the latest on the Oklahoma-Texas sort of potential move to the SEC. The Big 12 commissioners last night, they got together or the Big 12 teams and athletic directors got together on a conference call to discuss what was happening. Oklahoma and Texas were not there, of course, because they're trying to get to the SEC. So it feels like this is going to go on for a little while, but Oklahoma and Texas, as of right now, are trying to get out of the Big 12 and they want to get to the SEC. That is the goal there for those two programs. Amen.
It's more of a financial play, and I get that.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a difficult transition is what I'll say.
Yeah.
That would be a difficult deal, especially for Oklahoma. Like, Oklahoma shows that they can be good, but they haven't shown that they're elite or dominant. And outside of the pageantry and the tradition of what Oklahoma has represented in the past, I don't know what Oklahoma could do to change their trajectory. I mean, you've had Heisman Trophy winners.
Yeah.
You would assume that there would be some type of spike in terms of how much better they're able to do, but they always miss. They always miss. And listen, I know people are out there sitting there saying, so does Penn State. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But the one thing that I will say about Penn State, they've gone through the growing pains of being a part of the Big Ten in a time where the coverage and the expectations and just the total landscape of where college athletics is was not where it is now.
Yeah.
So a lot of things could slip through the cracks. Things could slip through the cracks that, you know, possibly won't do that now. And I think that the pressure, the turn up of pressure on decision makers at these institutions would be ridiculously high and probably very difficult to overcome. A lot of people will end up losing their jobs.
Oh, yeah.
In these types of situations.
Oh, let me tell you something right now. If I'm Lincoln Riley, when it does get announced and they say, so we're going to the SEC in 2023, I'm out for the NFL. See, I'll take the Cowboy job if McCarthy fails. I'm out. If I'm Lincoln Riley, you're at your highest right now. It only goes downhill if you go to the SEC. Like, you are the guy who gets quarterbacks Heisman Trophy awards. No. Like that's something to hang your hat on.
Look at my guy Matt Rhule. I mean, he goes to Baylor. I mean, he obviously with his background, but
yeah.
He was a part of Temple being good. He goes into State College and beats Penn State, his alma mater. I mean, then he goes, it's like everywhere he's gone, he's had success.
Yes.
But then he ends up in the Big 12 and he's winning with Baylor.
Yes.
Like he's made them relevant.
Yep.
And he gets a gig. He gets an NFL gig.
And gets a 7-year contract.
With
gig.
No NFL experience.
Yeah, with none. None.
So,
I think he might have been an assistant with the Giants for a year,
but
maybe.
When I say NFL experience,
I got you.
Being having a cup of coffee with a team is not being a head coach.
Yeah, like no,
going
I got you.
That's like, you know, that's like going from pedaling a bicycle to jumping on a ninja motorcycle. Like it's two different animals.
Yeah.
Two different things.
And so in talking about just the landscape of college football and where we stand with college football, Jim Harbaugh, the coach of the Michigan Wolverines, he was talking with the media, Big Ten Media Days, big deal, and everybody's gathering around. And so Jim Harbaugh was discussing just sort of the talk about him being on the hot seat there as the Michigan head coach. Here's what he had to say.
I look at it like people are trying to discourage you. You know, that's almost like propaganda, like, let's discourage them, you know? Almost like World War II propaganda machines, you know? Stop, quit, you know? No need to try. You have no chance. Don't even try any further. That becomes like, no, we don't subscribe to that at all. We're trying to get to the top. You know, we're gonna die trying. We're either gonna get there or die trying.
Who are we?
That's my guy, Jim Harbaugh.
Who are we?
Michigan Wolverines. You better believe it. The Michigan Wolverines.
I mean, but who within the Michigan Wolverines? Who within? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people on that team like, I don't know about what coach talking about. It's like, I don't know about that trying with you, dog.
I actually think, first of all, I think Jim Harbaugh has been a success at Michigan. I just think that people came in tired of hearing about how great Jim Harbaugh is as a coach, and he's a good coach. I mean, everywhere he's been, he's turned around the program that he's been at, whether it was San Diego, whether it was Stanford, whether it was the Niners. Michigan was a bad football program when he got there. They're back into relevancy. I just think the expectations were wrong to begin with. They've never been Ohio State, ever. Michigan's never been Ohio State. Ohio State has run that conference, man,
for a while.
Yeah,
never is a long time. Michigan has some serious football history, and they've been the cream of the crop for at times. I'll say this. The expectation, like if you talked about this the other day in terms of football rivalries and how important they are, there is no bigger football rivalry than Ohio State and Michigan. And when I say it's not even close, it's not even close.
Okay, when we were we're about in the same age range. Miami, Florida State was in the discussion. Those days are dead. It's not the same.
It's not even the same back then.
It's not close.
It's not close.
It's got to be a 9 a.m. Pacific time kickoff. That's when Michigan, Ohio State has to happen. Do not fart around by scheduling it later in the day. It's got to be a 9 a.m. Pacific time kickoff, noon Eastern time. That's where that game has to happen.
That's where this like it's the rivalry still continues to drive, just like what we were talking about with Oklahoma and Texas. The pageantry, the tradition, the legacies that are connected to these programs are what are still able to drive them forward, even in being an okay team. Harbaugh is over 500. I believe he's what 49-22.
He's
49-22. But he doesn't beat Michigan. He doesn't beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you're not winning the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So mediocre is what you're going to call Michigan. Mediocrity is where you're placing the Michigan Wolverines, because Michigan, when you think of Michigan, it's supposed to be a battle back and forth between Michigan and Ohio State to win the Big Ten. And that's not what it is. In fact, Michigan isn't even representing the side of the Big Ten that competes for the Big Ten title. And now you got teams like Pat Fitzgerald has Northwestern as a relevant team. Wisconsin is always a relevant team. Iowa flirts with being more than, you know, than what they generally are. They flirt with it. You're now seeing, this is crazy. You're seeing Indiana take advances towards being a more competitive and better team in the Big Ten. So when you look at what the task is as a head coach in the Big Ten, it's an arms race for talent. And Michigan does exceptionally well in recruiting. They just don't seem to be able to turn it into what is considered to be successful seasons, which is beating Ohio State, competing for the Big Ten title, or getting it.
A perfect example, John Cooper, Ohio State coach, was 111-43, a 7-15 winning percentage there.
There you go.
But he was 2-8-1 against Michigan.
And that's why he lost his job.
He can't survive it. Tressel, on the other hand, Tressel was dominant. Urban Meyer, dominant. And those guys are looked at completely different. And John Cooper had a hell of a run there with Ohio State.
Yeah, but Lloyd Carr.
Yep.
All you got to do is beat O State.
Yep.
Win the Big Ten. Get to the Rose Bowl. Like, that's the idea of it. And listen, James Franklin is under tremendous scrutiny, tremendous pressure, because he can't get past Ohio State. And for us, for Penn State, that's what we want. We want O State.
Yeah.
We have to have a successful year for us is beating Ohio State. We might fall off a couple other games. People can tolerate it. The faithful can tolerate it if you win certain games. And one of those certain games, the highest on our list, is Ohio State.
Yeah.
If you can't beat Ohio State, and James has not beaten Ohio State he's been very close, but he's not beating them, you are going to fall under an intense scrutiny that could eventually lead to you not being the coach. And that's why Jim Harbaugh is under so much scrutiny and so much stress. Is it's not propaganda. Sorry, you're winning. But the propaganda is thinking that you can continue to be what you are, even being Jim Harbaugh that played at Michigan and had a brilliant career, and not beat Ohio State. It doesn't work that way.
Up next, some things in the world of sports we have not had a chance to get to. They are yours here, but for all the latest, it's Eddie Garcia.
Thank you, Jonas. Watching the Olympics opening ceremonies going on right now in Tokyo, did you know that Syria has a 12-year-old table tennis athlete that is competing in the Olympics? That, according to Mike Tirico, the things you learn watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. I could tell by your speechless. Fun fact.
Was that the Sudan I just saw? They had this Sudan walking out. Now we've got Spain entered the chat. Very good. So in alphabetical order. Yeah. Anybody want to guess what country is next in alphabetical order? Do we want to take a stab at this?
Syria.
Okay, well, that's a good one. I was going to go
Siberia.
I was going to go South Dakota. Anybody want to take me up on that? What?
Tijuana.
Is that another, very good. Yeah, Tijuana. All right, that's good. That works.
By the way, did you notice,
those are
Jonas?
States.
They have a new policy. They have a new policy this year at the Olympics. A male and female athlete have to carry the flag in together.
So good.
About time.
Gender equality.
Yeah, you know, about time. Yeah. I'm sick of this. About time.
You are so funny for that.
All right. Major League Baseball last night. Roberto's laughing now, but he wasn't laughing earlier when his Dodgers lost to the Giants.
Eddie, how could you?
I'm going to cut your mic off, Eddie.
Oh,
you can cut it off in about 2 minutes, and I'll be out the door. The Giants score 4 in the 9th off of Kenley Jansen.
For a punch
5-3 win. That sounds like the Dodgers fan that I know. Second straight night, blown save for Kenley Jansen. There was a controversial call in the 9th inning. Bases loaded, full
count.
Didn't
matter. He walked the bases loaded.
Check swing. They say he did not go around, so the tying run comes to the plate. If they would have called it a strike, the game would have been over. But anyway, San Francisco takes 3 of 4 in the series and now 3 games up on LA in the NL West. Yes, Jonas.
I was just going to say, he would have never spoken this way if it were Eric Gagne. Eric Gagne, who was on the gas, he would have never have said this. But Kenley Jansen out there trying to finish
Gagne
off his career.
Gagne, game over, baby.
Yeah, trying to finish off his career, and you got savages like Roberto and Ben Maller who won't let him get through the rest of his season. I want to apologize on our Blowtorch AM570 LA Sports, the flagship of the Dodgers. I want to apologize for Roberto's comments about Kenley Jansen. How dare he?
How dare you, Roberto?
Slovakia is up now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, and that was not the next one up in line.
Was it Suriname or something?
And it wasn't. It didn't look like they were in alphabetical order either.
I think it's maybe the Japanese alphabet. They're going in that order.
Yeah, so it definitely was not alphabetical order.
Yeah, it was Stockton right before that.
Yeah, the Diaz brothers came out. Nick and Nate Diaz.
I really didn't mean for it to go this way, but okay. The Red Sox beat the Yankees 5-4 in 10 innings. Boston 2 in the 9th to tie it, then 2 more in the 10th to win it. It was not a great night for Yankees relief pitcher Brooks Krisky, as he set a major league record with 4 wild pitches in the 10th inning. Wild thing. You make my heart sing. Rays beat the Indians 5-4 in 10 innings. Boston still has a 1-game lead on Tampa Bay in the AL East. The Rays did make a trade yesterday. They picked up Nelson Cruz, a veteran slugger from the Twins. A's over the Mariners 4-1. Oakland now 2.5 back of idle Houston in the AL West. And the Braves beat the Phillies 7-2. Philadelphia now 4 back of the Mets in the NL East race. Now back to Jonas Knox and LeVar Arrington in the Outkick the Cover studios.
Thank you, Eddie. It is Outkick the Cover.
What's
here.
The name of that country?
Chiles.
I mean, seriously.
Say Chiles.
Say Chile.
I've never heard of that country.
Let me hear you say Chiles.
Say Chiles. I like the flag.
That is an interesting. Let me hear you say St. Chiles.
Yeah, how do you pronounce that? Can we get a some?
I just told you, St. Chiles.
That's what it looks like. now Equatorial Guinea. Right, come on, this is educational.
Okay, so it's the opening ceremony. By the way, for those of you wondering what the hell we're talking about, it's the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. It's an empty arena, but I think they've done a pretty good job making it seem like there's at least some cardboard cutouts.
Some real tight shots.
Wave to the crowd.
Yeah.
It's just some real tight shots,
yeah,
you know?
The magic of television.
It's crazy seeing the number of athletes that are participating versus the population of the country. You know?
By the way, Danny G has... Seychelles.
There you go.
Seychelles.
By the seashore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that an island somewhere, Danny?
Yeah, I don't know.
Personally, I like Seychelles better.
It is a country in East Africa.
All right.
Oh, see? We're learning here.
I mean, are these events going to be live? My big issue is, are we going to have live Olympic events, or are we going to have to watch it on tape delay? Because we're watching on tape delay.
I guess it depends on what time you're up.
I mean, come on, man. Like, people are up all over the place. Like, and we're working, odd hours here. So we would like something, a live sporting event on, so the rest of these people who get it during the week, we can know how they live for once.
I think we'll have a few live events while we're on the air.
Favorite Olympic event around the room quickly before 100. We get to break. Oh, track and field, right?
Easily. 100. Yeah. Not track and field. The 100.
So you just want it. You're in and out. I need.
Man,
listen,
quick
I'm not
and dirty.
So 10 seconds and you're and that's a wrap.
Let's get her done.
Let's get her done. That's a wrap. Roberto, favorite Olympic
no
event.
No need to get tired.
Swimming.
All right. Danny G.
Unicycling.
Oh, jeez.
That's good.
It would be you.
That is good. Yeah, with no seat, right?
Unicorn.
That's very good.
Dancing unicorn.
Eddie.
Say Chili's.
Eddie, favorite Olympic event.
Oh, come on, Jonas. Ice hockey. Ice hockey.
Right. Yeah. I forgot. Is Dub there? Dub, do you have a favorite Olympic event?
Yeah, I'm going to go with women's beach volleyball.
Very good.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm going to go with women's gymnastics and honor. In honor of Brady Quinn's wife, Alicia, who is
not even
hearing
you suck it up.
Yeah, I know, but she could be listening, and I don't want to piss her off because I've seen her when she's pissed off, and I don't want any part of that.
Stay away from that.
The Italian side of her comes out, and it's not pretty. So, we've got something going on in another country I can't pronounce the name of. This is awesome. All right, I need to buy
St. Kitts.
We got to buy a globe.
Come on, man.
We got to buy a globe for the studio and try and find these places. All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. Coming up next, though, stories in the world of sports we have not had a chance to get to, but the perfect way to send you into the weekend. They're yours next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. We are going to be back next week, LeVar. You're
really
going to be in here a couple of days. We'll be talking shop, having some fun.
Be on Speak for Yourself next week, too.
That's right.
Let's check it out.
Yeah, the TV version. Now, will you give me a little bit of a sign that, kind of a shout out? Like, could you do something like that?
Sure, why not?
I don't know, like flex or something like that?
Well, I mean, I'll maybe just say your name. Like, shouts out to my guy.
Yeah, just.
I might get in trouble, but
that's all right. Come on. I know a couple people over there. You'll be fine. Yeah. I mean, they don't know. I mean, there's most people are going to be like, who the hell is he talking about? Don't shout out weekend overnight guys if you want to keep the TV gig going.
Come on, man.
But we will be.
Give yourself a little bit more credit.
Yeah, it's more fun to make fun of myself. It's just easier that way.
Self-deprecation is good sometimes.
It's all good. We are going to be back here next week, though, a couple of days here on Outkick. You've also got Up on Game coming up this weekend as well, too.
Yeah.
So a busy weekend for LeVar. But before we get going here, it's time to get to something we do here on the show, and it's called this.
You moron. How could you not get to these stories? You moron. These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to Danny G to find out what the hell have we missed so far on the show, Danny.
File this under, it could have been a lot worse. Free agent linebacker Michael Kendricks was sentenced Thursday to one day in jail, 3 years of probation, 300 hours of community service as a result of his 2018 guilty plea to insider trading charges. Plus, he has to pay a fine of $100,000. Kendricks is 30. Of course, we know him as an Eagle. He played most recently for the Seahawks, and he finished last October with LeVar's Washington football team on the active roster there. Yeah, you guys.
You might need to add that to the list of things you missed.
Yeah, that's right. They don't give you any money anymore.
No.
But you guys think another team will give this guy an opportunity to play on the field again?
I mean, didn't he get one right after? Didn't the Seahawks sign him or something?
Well, first the Browns did, but then they cut him.
Because he was on Hard Knocks.
It was
right?
Washington. Yeah, he'll get another shot. He's young. I mean, insider trading, it's not like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you hired this man who got away with inside trading. Like, that's not, you know, there's other things.
Martha Stewart got a cooking show with Snoop.
She's
bigger.
He's not Sam Hurd, who was running a cocaine ring.
It's just a little different. Like, not Greg Hardy. And Greg Hardy got another shot.
Greg Hardy got a little sleepy time in a UFC fight recently.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Hey, man, you deal with a heavyweight with 4 ounce gloves, bad things happen.
And you guys didn't discuss this until Eddie's last update a few minutes ago. You were talking about Kenley Jansen giving Roberto a hard time. 2 blown saves, 2 nights in a row. Social media exploded last night as it seemed like he could have had 5 outs in that inning. The 5th one being Darren Ruff with that check swing. That wasn't a check swing.
That wasn't a swing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, yeah. Check that video out.
Bad.
Check that check swing.
It's pretty bad.
Dave Roberts went nuts. He was ejected for the second night in a row. He said, there's no doubt in my mind that he went and the game should have been over. Eddie is a really good umpire. He's been around for a long time. But in that spot, 2 contending teams, you just can't miss that call. The game should have been over. There's just no other way to look at it. So I ask you guys, why isn't that reviewable?
Look, I think everything should be reviewable. I think everything in the NFL should be reviewable. I don't want to hear that it's going to drag the game. It's going to take too long. Man, jobs are on the line. Why don't we get these calls right? The Dave Roberts defending of Kenley Jansen, I get it. He wants to be loyal, and Kenley's a really good dude. But, I mean, he's getting booed off the mound. Like, have you ever been booed by home fans, LeVar?
I mean, we lost.
Yeah, but like...
Like, you, directly?
Yeah.
No.
Like, when you are singled out as the guy that they're booing, and leading the way is Roberto Flores. Mm. I mean, just a, you know... Just ruining Kenley Jansen, who's a potential Hall of Famer. It's a tough spot to be in. I know Dave Roberts wants to be loyal to him, and they have a close relationship.
You got to be loyal to your team, right?
Yeah.
You got to win games. That's what matters.
I mean, look, man.
I think you got to leave things to the human element. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that everything should be. In fact, not only do I not think everything should be reviewable, I think that they should take out some of the reviewable aspects.
I would tend to agree with you, but that non-check swing...
That was pretty bad.
...call was the worst I've
probably
ever seen.
But look at it like this. You make the call, and then once you make the call, then now you just got to... You got to deal with the consequences and the repercussions, and now that raises the standard of how these referees and umps are going to call things.
Exactly. And look, that blown call doesn't change the fact that Jansen looked like crap.
He loaded the bases in the 9th inning.
Yeah, that was on him, so we can't ignore that either.
We cannot go into the weekend without talking about this story. A Nevada woman was arrested for breaking into a dental office for stealing cash and pulling out more than a dozen teeth from an... from a clueless patient, police say. Laurel Ake, who is not a dentist, allegedly told the county sheriff's office there that she pulled 13 teeth of an unwilling patient by using an anesthetic her employer had discarded. She said she broke into the dental office where she used to work. The incident came to light as police were investigating.
This is not funny.
A May 3rd break-in at this dental office. She's broken in twice. She stole. You would think that dentists, there's not a lot of cash on hand, right? But she walked away with $23,000 in cash and checks. After the investigation, she told the detectives that she also broke in to perform the tooth extractions. The 42-year-old woman was arrested and charged with 2 counts of burglary and 1 count each of grand larceny, conspiracy to commit burglary, and perform surgery on another without a medical license.
How is that not assault? That's got to be an assault. Right? You assaulted that person's mouth.
It gets better. The woman had allegedly performed illegal tooth extractions before the break-in on a different date, according to the release. It's not known what she did with the teeth or why she pulled them out.
I mean, you imagine
tooth extraction fetish.
You imagine, just imagine falling asleep on a dentist chair and you wake up and you got a mouthful of hot dog pieces. Just imagine that. Like what happened to my teeth? Did I all of a sudden smoke meth while I was passed out? Like, imagine that. You just wake up, 12, 13 teeth gone.
Oh, no.
I mean, listen, you know,
And how do you get the teeth back? You know, because you're going to have to have to get implants after that or some dentures.
No cavities,
dentures
though.
Is real old school, so they're going to have to do the whole surgery on you. So who's taking care of that?
Hey, no cavities, man. Yeah, no, oh, I mean, think about it, though. I look, I mean, like,
that's cold-blooded.
Hey, let me
it's
tell you something,
soon.
Man.
It's too soon.
Hey, Halloween's right around the corner. I'd be brushing my teeth with Fun Dip. Okay, like yeah, no cavities,
they
nothing
call
to
you
worry
Mr.
about.
Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, and you know you're gonna get paid a little bit.
Come Gumby.
On. I mean, like that is a lawsuit and a half to file there. Like, how much you guys think you would get million plus for something like that?
I mean, what if that company isn't insured? What if you can't sue them?
Why do you got to ruin the dream? You know, why can't we?
I like to pop balloons.
Okay, so
I'm a balloon popper.
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So do you, a million plus, right? I mean, they're easy, right?
Easy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, listen.
Well, then I could go for some lost teeth if it netted me $1 million.
I would tell my lawyer I want $1 million per tooth.
Oh, wow.
That's the move.
Yeah, take care of your teeth.
And you don't have to worry about eating an Abba Zabba the rest of your life.
Abba Zabba, you're my only friend.
Listen, what a way to go out. It is Outkick the Coverage for Eddie, for Danny, for Roberto, for Dub, LeVar. Let's do it again next week.
Yeah, man.
For everybody
great
listening,
weekend,
we
guys.
Appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.